Hey, everybody. I hope you are having a blessed day today and that you know and you can tell that you are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. Well, before we get into the Word, I've got some announcements for you. Number one, this coming Sunday will be our Christmas service. We are not having Christmas Day service as we've had for the past several years. But this coming Sunday, the 21st, will be our Christmas official Christmas service. Also that day, we will be taking a special King's offering because we're celebrating a birth of our King, the birth of our King. So we're taking a special offering, King's offering, which of course is over and above our normal offering. So come prepared to present a gift, a special gift to our King. Also, you're encouraged to wear your Christmas colors or to wear your unique Christmas sweater, okay? So we can get some laughs. Also, this coming Sunday, there will be no children's church because our children's church will be in the sanctuary that day. Of course, the business office will be closed on Thursday, December 25th. In observance of Christmas. In addition to that, there'll be no corporate prayer on Saturday, December 27th. We will host a New Year's Eve service on Wednesday, December 31st from 10 p.m. to midnight. The first hour, we will have refreshments and fellowship. And then from 11 to midnight to bring in the new year, we'll be in the sanctuary and we'll have praise and worship, dance, and a brief word so I can prep us for 2026. And you are, dressy attire is encouraged. Dressy or semi-formal, whatever. You know, if you want to get dressed up, I know some of y'all like to get dressed up, so let's do it. Also, on Monday, January 5th, mark this on your calendar, we will kick off our 21-day church-wide fast. 21-day church-wide fast begins on Monday, January 5th. That is the first Monday after New Year's Day. All right? Also, during that time, in addition to praying on Saturdays, special corporate prayer on Saturdays for those 21 days, we want to have conduct some healthy lifestyle workshops. These workshops will be free and specially designed to focus on the overall you, mind, body, finances, relationships, and our spirit to prepare us for taking total dominion in 2026 and beyond. Okay? Also, mark your calendars because we will meet on the three Saturdays in January during the fast, the 10th, 17th, and the 24th from 10 a.m. to noon. And you can register once we've decided on the topics that we're going to cover. You can register on our website at www.lfccnj.com. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your word that is always good for us, good for our soul, causes us to grow spiritually. Holy Spirit, of course, we don't want to have any lesson, any service, any event, nothing without you, Holy Spirit. We need you. So I thank you for your presence here across these devices. And I just thank you ahead of time for making all this come together. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Also, I want to mention that next Wednesday is when I usually have healing service. So I want to pray for people. I'll do a little bit of teaching, and then I want to pray with people. So in expectation that you'll receive a healing for Christmas, the gift of healing for Christmas, which always belongs to us. But of course, you have to receive a gift. So that'll be next week. Okay. Well, we're all making plans for Christmas, and we're making plans for the upcoming new year. And we're planning different things, and maybe you're not planning different things. But I wanted to talk about today. when God, to take a look at what has God put you in charge of? What project, what task has the Lord put before you? Maybe you know it, maybe you don't know it, but it's important that we know. How many of you know God is always on the move? God doesn't want us to stay caught up in a whole bunch of busyness, but he does want us to be occupied with what he has called us to do at different times, different stages in our lives. And it depends on where we are physically, depends on where we are mentally, soulishly. It depends on where we are spiritually. But God is always up to something. Amen? And God wants to use you, and he wants to use me. So the main scripture I'm going to be coming from today is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you have your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards," that's the word, one of the words we're focusing on, "stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, so Paul here is talking about how he has been given an assignment by God, something to carry, something. He's given him a task. He's given him a project. He's given him a ministry, and that is to steward. We'll talk about the definition of steward in a minute, to steward the mysteries of God. And then he says in verse 2 in the New King James, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards," again, there's that word again, "it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Now, a steward, especially in that day when the Bible was written, a steward was someone who was put in charge to over a project. A steward was somebody who was put in charge over their boss's household, or their boss's business, or their boss's farm, the owner of a farm or a business or a household. And of course, the scriptures say that you and I, we are of the household of God. And so therefore, God has made us stewards, all of us. God has made us stewards in his household. And, you know, I have a couple of titles. I'll share them with you later. But the word steward, I'm going to, it was somebody who was put in charge over a project. It was, a steward was someone that the owner who put you in charge, he entrusted you with all of his business. He entrusted them with the finances. He entrusted that steward with distributions and trusted him with the books and all those things. It was something that he entrusted to, that God entrusted to this person who was a steward, okay? Let me see here. The word steward, it means the manager of a household or of household affairs. Now, I'm talking about us, okay? So you may think that God hasn't called you to do anything. I guarantee you, God has called you to do something, and he's called you to do something not in just your household, but in his household. Now, we may start off as our household, which is still a project from God in itself, and God's entrusting you to take care of your household, take care of your family, take care of your children, take care of your husband or your wife. That's an assignment that God's given you, but it means the manager of a household or a manager of household affairs. It also means, it can mean a manager or superintendent. I'm reading off my other iPad. A steward was someone to whom the head of the house or the proprietor or business owner has instructed or entrusted the management of his affairs. That is heavy. That's deep, right? They would take care of the receipts. They would take care of all the expenses. Again, they had the duty of dealing out proper proportions to everybody else who was serving, even to children who were of that owner's household who were not of age. Okay, again, we're talking about us and each one of us being a member of the household of God. Now, but there's something in particular. So God wants to entrust us with a project, with a task. Okay. And then it says in verse 2 again, it says, moreover, it is required in a steward, a manager, someone who oversees something that belongs to somebody else. We've heard for years that we're not owners of what we have. We're stewards of what God gives us, right? And so that's why God should have a say-so in everything that we own and that he blesses us with. And it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. One be found faithful. That word found, it's the Greek word hevrisko, and it means to come upon after a season of searching and observing. When God wants to find us, Paul says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Part of my title is, when God goes finding, are you faithful? You know, one of my favorite discount retail stores has a motto this year, or especially this season, and they say this is beyond shopping. They say this is finding. And so it made me think of, when God goes finding, how and what is he going to find us doing? Are we going to be managing what he has given us to do? Again, we all have an assignment, and we have to be faithful in that assignment. It's important to find out that, to know that in those days, a steward was, of course, somebody who didn't take on a project that was way over their head. They would take on a project, they would be a steward over something, then they would excel, and then they were assigned something that was bigger and larger than what they had previously taken care of. And God does the same thing with us. So I'm encouraging you and myself to stay focused. Know what God has called us to do. Let me just read some things I have written down. Are you new parents? If you're new parents, you know, and when we take on an assignment, when God, as stewards of God, we are to be faithful. We're to be faithful to do that, which means to be totally reliable and to be utterly and totally faithful. Devoted and trustworthy. So God is trying to increase all of us, not only in our assignments and the part of his household that he wants us to take care of, but he wants us to increase, to be able to increase. He wants to see, you know, I remember people used to look for jobs, and they used to get me because they would want a job and they'd want to be a manager somewhere. Well, what have you done so far? You know, what have you managed? What have you proven? God does the same thing with us. He gives us an assignment. And then what do? We have to use what we have in order to complete that assignment. God is watching. Remember, God wants to find us faithful, and that word found is to discover as a result of observing and about that person. So God is watching us, and he's watching what we're doing. You know, we may make different goals in 2026, And we have to make sure that we're sticking to those goals. Those goals could very well be from God. Some are just yours. But we want to make sure, especially, that we are focusing on the assignments that God gives us. You know, I was thinking today how we need, as the body of Christ, as believers, as sons of God, we need to be more God-centric. What does that mean? God-centric. That means God needs to be at the center of our lives. Our focus, we should be focused on God because we are now in his household, right? We've been called by him, right? And so we have to make sure that we're not so busy doing all our little stuff, our little projects, and taking up a whole bunch of time. We need to know, we need to find out from God, God, what have you called me to do? What am I supposed to be doing right now? And so that, because God's going to assign something to us so that he can watch us, so that he can observe us, so that he can see that we're faithful. Jesus said, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And so many Christians, they want to bypass the little and just go to the much. But Jesus is saying, no, there's a principle here. You have to be faithful in the little things that I give you. And God is watching to see how we act, how we handle things, right? Let me read some of the things. Are you new parents, okay? Are you new parents? And, you know, maybe you don't have that much money. You know, you don't have a whole lot of money. But you can, parents, you can, mama, you can wash those clothes. You can wash those five outfits. Remember, God's watching and listening to what, how we handle it and what we're saying in the process. We know that complaining is a bad idea. That's a bad idea. Complaining is going to give us bad results. Amen. I can tell I'm not going to finish this today, but if you can take your five baby outfits, wash them, launder them, and act like you have another whole five outfits all over again, right? So, and treat it like it's a whole new wardrobe, right? So what's that doing? You're taking what you have and making the most of it and being thankful to God in the process. Are you a new business owner? Then you should treat your, maybe you just have two clients. You should be treating those two clients the same way you would treat 200 clients, right, in that business. I remember, when Dr. Lamont started his business, UTRS, and we were all there at some point, but they treated, they came into work every day. They carried their briefcase. I don't know what was in them at the time, but they carried their briefcase. Everybody put on business type clothes. Everybody was professional. You don't act unprofessional just because you only have one or two clients. That's your beginning. God is watching your beginning. He's watching what we do. You know, Zechariah 4:10, it says, I love this in the New Living Translation. Zechariah 4:10, it says, do not despise these small beginnings. And listen to this. This blessed me so much. Do not despise these small beginnings. How many of you right now, you're in a small beginning? Well, don't discount your beginning. Don't fuss and complain because you're just in the beginning stages of what God has called you to do. Maybe you just started a small group and you only have three people. Just be faithful in that thing that God has called you to do. And again, back to Zechariah. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Somebody say, God, just help me begin. God, I'm just going to begin. Now, of course, the whole assumption is that we're going to begin something when God leads us to do it, and then our plan, because we want to be found when God goes finding. We want to be found faithful. We want to be found trustworthy. We want to be found in an attitude that we're going to stick to this thing. We're going all the way to the end. We're going to finish it. But again, we get so distracted looking at what somebody else is doing. We need to keep our eyes on our ball. We need to keep our eyes, you know, so we don't want to despise, which means to disdain, to resent our small beginning. Look, I can tell you from experience that starting small is a blessing. Starting small is a blessing. Lots of times when you start big, that is just asking for trouble. That's going to overwhelm you. And when you start big, sometimes it makes you not appreciate all the stages that you would have gained wisdom and gained understanding and gained relationships in that small beginning, right? So there are benefits, true benefits to starting small. It's almost like God is having mercy on us because he's allowing us to learn as we go along, and so that we won't be overwhelmed. How many of you know God knows what would overwhelm us and what would not overwhelm us? And he's telling us when he gives us an assignment, our goal is to be found faithful, right? To be a steward, to be faithful over little, so that God can watch us, so that he can keep an eye on us, right? So God will keep an eye on you when you're a small group leader over three people, two people, and then God is going to help you. Your grace is going to increase. The grace of God, the help of God, the assistance of God. When I was talking about a new parent, you only have five outfits. Okay, right now God is calling you to be a mother and to be a father. So you have to take care of that. You have to do it. It's a small beginning. Maybe you don't have that much, but you take care and you work with what you have as a mother and as a parent for that baby. I have written down here, look, as a newlywed girl, you need to take your mismatched plates, and act like they're fine china. Why? First of all, your whole attitude is preparing you for more. And then God can bless that attitude. Remember, not complaining. God can bless the attitude of someone who's positive, someone who's looking forward to more good, and who's looking forward and working on progress, making progress. In other words, you're working that thing. You're working that thing. So when we started UTRS, we were working that thing. It was small. We didn't know what we were doing, but you couldn't tell us we weren't a great company. You know, when we started the ministry, we started with 10 people, something like that. But when we went into it, when we knew God was calling us, and we knew it, we both knew, he knew and I confirmed it. But we went in that thing and we acted like, you know, we didn't immediately start off with having church in a hotel banquet hall or anything like that. No, we started in our family room. And then, look, you couldn't tell us we weren't official. And then we fixed up our basement. A lot of you heard this before. But what did we do? We didn't complain. Oh, we're in this basement. We can only fit 20 people. We don't have a keyboardist. Look, praise and worship was me right here. Praise and worship was me and a cassette recorder. Not a CD, a cassette recorder. Like plunk, plunk, stop, go, rewind. We didn't care. We used what we had. All we had was a cassette player. All we had, thank God, was cassettes of music and songs. And sometimes we sang over a group, you know, because why? Because we were working. We were working with what we had. And, you know, Dr. Lamont's podium was a music stand. You know, we didn't have a globe or a dove etched in it or our name written on it. No, we had a black music stand in our basement. That was his pulpit, and that cassette player was my praise and worship team. Amen. And we did what we could. We had our little refreshments when the word was over. But what I'm saying is we don't want to miss what God is doing because we're so used to things being bigger than life. And I'm sharing this because it says that it's required. It's required in stewards, in those who cover and are responsible and manage the projects that come from God. And that would include being a parent as well. That would include being a pastor, you know, or you're pastored, and take advantage and just be, you know, preach to those 10 people just like you would preach to 1,000 people. What is that doing? That's being a good steward. And God watches this. He watches our faithfulness. He watches, look, again, we can't be trusted. If we can't be trusted with the little that we have, you know, then we're not going to be trusted with the much. That's a principle. It's not something that's just made up. That's a principle. If you're not faithful in little, if you're not faithful with a little bit of money, I have written down here, you know, perhaps you're tithing and you're tithing off your little bit of income. Hey, do it. That's a good thing to do. Be a faithful steward over that little tithe and that little income because God is watching. God is observing. God is taking notes, if you will. God is taking notes and he's watching you. Okay, uh-huh. She was a trooper with that. Okay, uh-huh. He did exactly the right thing, what I would expect him to do. Okay, let me take care of that. Because God, his goal is always, always, always to advance us. Look, God can't use everybody because everybody isn't faithful. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, aren't all believers faithful? No, no. A lot of believers are just as worldly as anybody else. They're watching TikTok, they're watching this, they're watching that, and they're comparing themselves to where God has started them with and comparing it to somebody who's been doing it for a long time or for whatever reason. But God is taking notes on what he assigns us to do, whether it's being a mother, whether it's being parents, whether it's being a newlywed, whether it's being a new business owner, right? Again, you treat those a little bit of clients like you would a whole lot of clients. In other words, you work with what you have and be professional about it and be faithful with it. And that's your thing. That's what you do, okay? So, you know, you don't start big. You don't always start big. And again, it says here, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Come on, y'all. Say God. Somebody say, God, show me what you want me to begin. Show me what you want me to begin, and I'll do it. I'll start it, and then my whole attitude is that I will be utterly faithful, utterly loyal. I will work with what I have. I will be happy with, content with what I have until I get more, right? And God needs to know and observe and see that you're going to finish the job. You're going to finish it. You're not going to back out. You're not going to whine and complain and say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. So what I'm saying to you, you need to pick back up what God has called you to do. You need to, or you just need to plain get started. We're getting ready to hit 2026. We need to get started on what God is leading us to do. What task? What assignment does he have for us, right? So we have to start at the level that we are. So when God tells us to start, we got to start at the money level that we are. We have to start at the talent level that we are. We have to start at the wisdom and knowledge level that we are. It doesn't mean when we don't have everything, it doesn't mean we don't start until we have everything, like as far as maturity and length of time. No, we start with what we have and be happy about it. We were happy when we started the ministry with just 10 people. We were happy when we started UTRS, the company, and with one client. Before that, we conducted business. You know, Dr. Lamont and his partner, Jerry, they acted like when we didn't have any clients, they still acted professionally. They still worked with what God had provided for them, the open door. God is expecting us to do the very same thing. Amen? The very same thing, because he wants to increase us. Let me see here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because God's plan, and I'll end here, I believe. God's plan, I have a lot I didn't get to, but in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. God wants to exalt us. God wants to lift us up to another level. God wants to lift us up and move us on to the next thing, but we have to be found faithful. We can't be exalted if we try to skip steps. We can't be exalted and lifted up when we're trying to ride on somebody else's back, right? Or worse, you go steal somebody something, you know? You go cheat somebody, swindle somebody to do and take what they have in order to make what you have bigger. God wants to, but we have to humble ourselves. We have to understand that we need God, and we have to understand that all these things are projects in his household. Again, being a husband, being a wife, being parents, if he's called you to be a business owner, in business, God just wants you to work with what you have. Amen? Again, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Let me read the Passion Translation, and I'll end here. It says in the Passion Translation, it says, the most, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it says, the most important quality of one entrusted with such secrets. Now, remember, they were called to be, to handle and be managers of the mysteries of God. That's what Paul's assignment was, and those that travel with him. The most important quality of one entrusted with such secrets is that they are faithful and trustworthy. Faithful and trustworthy. There's let me see what the Amplified says. The Amplified says, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man or a woman should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. Are you worthy of trust? Have you proven that you are worthy of trust? Anybody's trust. Worthy of man's trust or worthy of God's trust? That's what we have to do. That is our assignment. Amen? Because God's trying to take us somewhere. He's trying to take us somewhere, and that requires that we be found faithful. So when God goes finding, is he going to find you faithful? When God goes finding, like that retail store says right now, is he going to find me faithful? Let's be faithful to God. Let's be faithful. Let's do the little projects so that God can give us the big projects. Amen? And just be thankful and grateful for what he has provided for us. Because again, he's taking notes. He's watching. He's the one who told us, don't despise how you start out. Don't despise the little that it looks like you have. You know, where you might think, well, I need more. Well, if God told you to go ahead and do it, then it's going to be all right. He's going to help you and you're going to increase. There's no way that you can work with God and not increase. Amen. And it says again here, it says, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Amen. Let's give God some pleasure in letting him see the work begin in us and what our assignment is, what tasks he is giving us to do right now in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would pick back up on the assignment, on the task that you have given us. And we allowed ourselves to be discouraged and we even quit. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, God, give us a second chance. God, give us a third chance, if that's what it is. God, give us a 10th chance. Whatever it is, if we've gone back on you multiple times, God, we ask that you give us another chance, that you would have mercy on us, and that we would operate in your grace. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to share one more scripture, and it says, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Somebody give God some thanks for his manifold grace in our lives. Hallelujah. All right, everybody. I'll see you this coming Sunday. Please be prepared to honor the Lord and to worship the King with a special King's offering this Christmas. If it wasn't, after all, Jesus made the Christ, he put the Christ in Christmas. Amen. All right. I love you. Have a great rest of the week. Bye.